Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Cedar Report on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, I'll be answering the questions that you have regarding Michigan State football and basketball. A little later on, discuss the outlook for MSU's hopes to break into the college football playoff. But first, I believe we have former Michigan State offensive lineman Ulish Booker on the show. Ulish, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Hey, man, it's great having you on. There is a lot to cover with the game that we have this weekend, so let's dive right in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, first things first, let's talk about the quarterback situation at Michigan State. Connor Cook suffered an injury this past weekend, may not be 100%, says that he's going to play. What does he bring to the game that he may not be able to do at less than full health?
I think, you know, as we all know, the center and the quarterback touch the ball more than anybody in the field. And I think that by having a guy like Connor, he brings a slew of intangibles to the table as far as his leadership, the trust in the guys. I think a 75% Connor Cook is better than a whole lot of 100% other, you know, Division I quarterbacks in America right now.
You just look at the numbers. Everyone has him pegged as the first-team All-Big Ten guy, even over the likes of JT Barrett, who he faces this weekend. Obviously, Barrett and Cardale Jones led Ohio State to the championship last year. Let's get to your area of expertise, shall we, the offensive line. They've kind of been beaten up with injuries, but they've been together the past couple weeks. Even then, some would say that they haven't quite lived up to the hype that they had entering the season. MSU's maybe struggled running the ball a little bit more. Connor Cook's been under a little bit more duress, at least than he was, at least more than he was last year. What have you seen that can kind of be attributed to that?
I think you have to look at the last couple of years of our success, and when you really look at it, we've had really, 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 really great running backs. Look what our last few running backs have gone on to do as far as success at the next level. I mean, look at Le'Veon Bell, look at Langford, and look at the success that these guys are having. I think that had a lot to do with our success as an offensive line in our past years, and we won't use that as an excuse nonetheless, but when you have a drop-off or a transition or a difference in running style, I think, for example, those guys hit the holes a lot faster. So in return, that made the offensive line look that much better. And so also you got to take into account when you're the hunted, you know, it's lonely at the top. So when everybody's coming for you, you know, it's just not a Michigan State status quo team that we're playing, you know, in everybody else's eyes. You know, they're looking to make a mark and make a point and make their name off of our backs. And so, you know, the pressure, the intensity, the whole level of gamemanship rises all across the board. And so I would say that, you know, that's one of the biggest things as far as our offensive line. I think the competitiveness across the ball has stepped up, you know. And so, you know, given the injuries and, you know, this late in the season and all the things that I've stated, you know, those guys are still fighting through and persevering.
Right, and how do you counter that? How do you go from, hey, look, we're the hunter, now we're being the hunted? How do you respond to that up front?
Well, I think just like the offensive line, we've always prided ourselves on just kind of looking within and understanding our role and understanding that our team goes as the two front lines go, as the offensive line and defensive line goes. And so, you know, we do what we do, and that's put our work hats on and go to work every day, down in and down out, regardless, you know, of the scoreboard. We fight. You know, most offensive linemen, we stay even keel. and we keep our emotions within our group. And so we rely on the five guys that are next to each other. And so I think that those are the intangibles, and those are the physical attributes, as well as, you know, our conditioning program and our strength and conditioning leader, Coach Manny. I mean, he has a lot to do with, you know, instilling a lot of those intangibles and those tough traits and tough love traits, physical traits in our guys, especially the offensive line.
Now, let's talk about one of those key matchups on the offensive line. Last year, Jack Conklin, he did a pretty good job on Joey Bosa. What does he do to kind of slow him down that a lot of people are unable to do? What makes Jack Conklin so special?
I think Jack Conklin has a unique ability to take angles and pursue his opponent well. I think he's such a veteran. He's been in it long enough to understand that, you know, not to let the hype of the game engulf him. And so that's a big part of it, when, you know, you can come into a game and not let the emotions of the atmosphere overtake your technique and your skill ability. And so Jack has played in a lot of big games, and his footwork and his physical abilities associated with his, you know, psychological perspective towards the game, I think that's what separates Jack from a lot of offensive tackles, et cetera.
All right, and you've mentioned how he kind of just powers through the fact that it's a big game. How much added pressure is there being a left tackle? I mean, you're typically going up against the other team's primary rusher, and how much added pressure does that put on left tackle shoulders? Because that's where you play.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, as I stated, Jack has been in so many of these big games. You know, I think I would have to imagine that he's kind of immune to a name. I think it's more so just, you know, the person and what they bring to the table, you know, just watching film and understanding the guy that's across from him. So I don't think at Jack's level, he takes into account a whole lot to the point where it takes him out of his game. He's at the level now where he prepares for an opponent every week, no matter what their name is, no matter what their experience is, he prepares for them just the same, I'm sure. You know, he'll put extra film time in this week, given, you know, what we're, you know, what our mission is and what the goals that we're trying to accomplish. But overall, I think his approach day in and day out is typically consistent, you know, for his skill level and his skill set. I mean, he's been doing it for so long at a high level. You know, with all the big games that he's participated in, I think it's just another day on the job, trying to get the job done.
All right, again with us today, former Michigan State offensive lineman, former Pittsburgh Steeler, Ulish Booker. Now, looking back at the history of this series, Michigan State, they've beaten OSU, and they've upset them a couple times over the past couple years. But the last time they actually upset the Buckeyes in Columbus, you were a part of that team. What was dealing around the program? And you took away Ohio State's national title hope.
Well, I can tell you this. Going into that week, I'll never forget it. I think it was Gary Tranquil and Charlie Baggett, if I'm not mistaken. They brought to our attention that some years ago, prior to that 1998 game, we went to Columbus and kind of stalled their hopes in another opportunity that the Buckeyes had. And, you know, we just created an atmosphere of believing in ourselves, and, you know, and it just spread out throughout both sides of the ball. And we just went down there, and all week long we practiced and put in the work, and, you know, just kept fighting. And, you know, that fight and that Spartan will, you know, got us the victories.
Right. You talked about instilling that sense of belief in yourself. And Michigan State they've kind of prided themselves on being the underdog. How does Mark D'Antonio do that so efficiently without completely out mentally performing his team, as in, like, how does he get them to believe, hey, you're the underdog, but you still have a chance to win?
I mean, you got to understand Coach D. Coach D was there when I was there. He was always cool, calm, and collective. But at the same time, he would let you know that he had the ability to kind of, you know, to raise up on you if he needed to, or to get in your case if he needed to as well. So I think, you know, Coach D's ability to keep the calm and the respect of the players and the love that the players have for him, you know, I think that's the biggest piece. When your players love you and they will go, you know, go to the end of the world for you, that's an intangible that you can't buy. You know, you can't teach that. You have to be that guy in order for your guys to adapt to you. So, you know, as it relates to your question, I think Coach D being who he is and conducting himself the way that he does, I think that's that X factor that allows him to convey to the team that, hey, look, we're the underdog, but, hey, we all we have and we all that we need. And, you know, that sense of team and that sense of togetherness is what allows, you know, the team to buy into what Coach G is selling.
What needs to happen, you know, this week that hasn't happened recently for this year's team to go in and do what you did in 98, take away Ohio State's hopes, but in return, obviously, this time Michigan State will have an opportunity to build up some of those hopes themselves?
I think what needs to happen is, I think we need to control what we can control. Up front, on offensive line, dominate, you know, be as physical as possible, open up as many holes as we possibly can, running backs run as fast as you can, quarterbacks throw the ball on time, get the ball out, receivers catch the ball, O-line protect the quarterback, you know, wide receivers block on run plays, and the same thing on defense. Defense, get penetration, you know, make tackles. Everybody do their job. If everyone does their job, we can come out with a W. And that's the biggest part. If everybody does what their coach should do, and believe in the technique, believe in each other, buy in to the whole thing, you know, we can come out with the victory.
All right, Ulish. Hey, we're going to let you go, but before we do that, we got to get a prediction for you. What happens this weekend down at the Horseshoe?
Hey, what happens this weekend at the Horseshoe? I think our guys come out. I think we come out, you know, and do what we're coached to do. I think there's a sense of a lack of respect that I feel throughout the country for the Michigan State Spartans, and that's okay. That's okay, because as long as you know, Spartan Nation is behind us and with the Spartans, you know, we can achieve and do great feats. And so my prediction is we come out with a W.
All right. That was former Pittsburgh Steeler, former Michigan State Spartan, Ulish Booker. Ulish, thank you for coming on. Thanks for taking time. We appreciate it. Great stuff.
No problem.
All right. Once again, that was former Michigan State tackle Ulish Booker. And I think he hit the nail on the head. Michigan State, when he was talking about what Michigan State needs to do to get the win, defensive line, wide receivers need to make, he pretty much said everybody needs to do their job. And I think that's going to be the case. Michigan State, they need everybody to perform at the highest level possible. We just released the predictions at iSportsWeb for what we think is going to happen. I'm not going to ruin it for you as a Patrick McEwen of Ohio, who covers Ohio State for iSportsWeb. He's going to come on tomorrow and we'll give you our predictions at the same time. But we did just release the article anyways, and I said Connor Cook cannot play at 109%. He can't play at 109%, and Michigan State expect to win this game. He needs to play at 110%. His arm needs to be at 110% in order for Michigan State to win this. The running backs, they seem to have struggled a little bit. I think LJ Scott has looked good, but he's been dinged up. And so right now Michigan State is fighting to get their running game going. And that's part of the offensive line struggles that me and Ulish talked about, is part of the reason why the offensive line doesn't look that good is it is a different set of backs. The running backs at Michigan State the past couple of years have been unbelievable. Le'Veon Bell, if he can stay healthy for one season, is the best running back in the league. Easily. Maybe now you could throw Todd Gurley's name in there. But right now, Le'Veon Bell is the best back in the league. Jeremy Langford backing up Matt Forte, but he's showing that he can kind of be the heir to the throne down there in the Windy City. Langford's looked unbelievable the past couple weeks. Absolutely unbelievable. Catching out of the backfield, he's able to do what Matt Forte does. He does everything really well, but nothing great at that level. But that's at the NFL level. In college, he set the record for Big Ten 100 consecutive 100-yard games. Jeremy Langford and Le'Veon Bell have helped make this offensive line as good as it has been the past couple of years, and that's part of the struggle this year. You have two freshmen playing, and then you have Delton Williams, who's a step slow because he was suspended the entire offseason. I'm right there with him. Connor Cook, he's only been sacked 13 times still among the leaders as far as sacks allowed go for the Spartans. And so offensive line is getting the job done in pass protect. They're not getting it done in the running game. And I think that's part of the problem is the new running backs, the younger running backs, or the running backs who can't play in the offseason and get better at their craft. We are going to talk about those playoffs now that we kind of touched on at the end there. Michigan State wins this game. I think they're in control of their own destiny. Florida has to play Florida State and Alabama still. If Alabama goes through, Clemson and Bama probably are going to end up winning out. OSU and Iowa, that's a 3-5 teams in the country right now. That stuff can change. Nebraska's starting to come along. They're going to be a tough half for Iowa. They will be. I don't care if Iowa's undefeated. Nebraska's starting to get things going. That game against Michigan State, I think they've revitalized that Husker program under Mike Riley in his first year. Beat Michigan State. I don't care if there was a garbage call or two along the way that cost the Spartans that game. This Nebraska team is the real deal. They are five plays and turf toe away from being undefeated. A lot of close games. A lot of close games, very similar to the 2012 Spartans. Notre Dame has to lose to Stanford. Florida, we talked about. FSU or Bama can take them out. The Big 12, they still need to wet themselves out a little bit. Honestly, Spartan fans, you have to root for Baylor. I've made it a clear point on the show. I've made it a very clear point on the show. Over time, I am not a fan of Art Briles. I'm not a fan of the way Baylor works. I'm not a fan of the way the Big 12 is so offensively oriented, and they don't play defense. They don't. But you're probably rooting for Baylor this week. Look at how low TCU is based upon who they have left. TCU is probably the second choice for Spartan fans over these next couple weeks. TCU is far enough back. They're 18th in the country. Michigan State's 9. Michigan State plays number 3 and number 5 if, of course, Michigan State can make it that far. They play number 5 Iowa. They'll play a team in Penn State that if they beat Michigan, they'll be in the top 25. That's 3 ranked teams right there. TCU doesn't have a bowl game. TCU needs to wipe out some of the competition that's above Michigan State. Should have enough on their resume by that point to get in. But a little help from TCU wouldn't hurt. We are going to turn our attention to basketball here a little bit. I know typically during the show, we've been talking about Michigan State football. The Michigan State basketball team, an absolutely fantastic game the other night against Kansas. The team showed resilience with freshmen playing significant minutes. Deontay Davis, Matt McQuaid, they both played over 20 minutes. This is their second collegiate game. You're playing over 20 minutes against a top five team and one of the top programs nationally. I thought they both looked pretty good. I thought Davis probably could have played a little bit better on offense. I would like to see him with the ball more, making the moves in the paint to put a few points on the board. But defensively, I thought he did a good job. Went up against Perry Ellis a couple times. Perry Ellis is one of the better players in the country. I think he's an All-American candidate. And he did a good job on Ellis. Looking at the other freshman, McQuaid, I gave him an A-plus in my grades after the Kansas game. I gave him an A-plus, but that's just because of his clutch shots, and he did have a nice block after he did get beat going to the basket. But I don't know how I feel about this kid as far as running the point goes. He doesn't have the best handles in the world. He's very slow with his crossover as he's trying to take the ball off the floor. Michigan State has Louisville. They have Louisville before the conference season starts. That's going to be a tough game with McQuaid running point. I think that there's better options at that position. Worst case scenario, you can have Denzel Valentine bring the ball up the floor. And then you can let McQuaid handle it and let him run the offense from there. Obviously, I think Tom Tom is a better point guard at this moment. But you've got to, at the same time, you have to give props to McQuaid. McQuaid, he played great. He was incredibly clutch. Like I said, he went against the top five team in the country. It didn't faze him. He hit a three to put the Spartans ahead for good. He hit another three to seal the deal. Nice block to kind of stamp it with an exclamation point. I think that McQuaid looked good. Bill Raftery says it best. The kid has onion. He was just absolutely unbelievable there. Still not 100% sold on him being a point guard, though. I think the offense was run too much through Valentine. They've got a – I don't know. You can't be so one-dimensional. There's defenses designed to slow people down like that. There's the box and one, which is very rare at the college level, but I think you could see it a little bit with Valentine if the offense continues to go through him like it does. Which brings me to my next point. You need more from Bryn Forbes with the ball. Bryn Forbes, he did what he does. Outside, he hit threes, he hit jump shots, but he did not do a lot with the basketball, which is something I was really hoping that he would do this year. And I know it's still early. It's only the second game out of what will hopefully be 40. But I think that I would like to see more from Bryn Forbes as far as trying to set the offense as a two-guard. I thought Matt Costello played great. 10 points, 9 rebounds, a couple stupid fouls. But given the whole freedom of movement thing by the NCAA, it's what's going to happen in the NCAA this year. Tom Izzo's not going to tell his guys, hey, lighten up on defense because the rules say you can't play it as tight as we taught you your first 3 or 4 years here. He's not going to do that. So these fouls are to be expected. Marvin Clark, Gavin Schilling, they'll help eat up a couple of those minutes that maybe Colby Wollenman saw when Costello started suffering some foul trouble. Maybe Davis doesn't play. Maybe it wasn't Izzo's plan for Davis to play as much. Speaking of not playing as much, Aaron Harris, he only played 10 minutes. before shooting, his one, he had a nice reverse layup that was his only made field goal of the game. Chuck just, not Michigan State three. He was shooting shots that maybe were allowed at West Virginia. Maybe they were allowed in the Big 12. But I want to take you back to, I went to a Midnight Madness when Corey Lucius was at Michigan State. And Lucius shot a couple very deep threes. It's an exhibition game. Who cares, right? Well, Tom Izzo cares. Tom Izzo stopped the scrimmage. He stopped Midnight Madness, an exhibition game, green versus white. Tom Izzo stopped the scrimmage and reamed out Corey Lucius in front of a stadium, in front of the entire stadium during Midnight Madness 1 year. That was during Midnight Madness. That was during Midnight Madness. You think he's going to let Aaron Harris do that during games? No, no. And at the rate the way Aaron Harris plays, Aaron Harris couldn't keep a folding chair in front of him. And look, I understand that I'm not the most in-shape guy. I'm not, for those of you who have not seen me before. I'm not. I am a little overweight. But there were times watching that Kansas game, I thought I could get by Aaron Harris. I really did. He's not a good defender. He plays defense like he's from the Big 12. He looks like a Baylor defensive back out there. He let player after player get to the hoop. All that being said, though, look, it was a great game. Wallenman played good. He was a little up and down. Kenny Goin, same thing. Like I said, Costello played good. Valentine played good. Forbes, you know, he did what he's expected. I would like to see more from him. Tom, I'm really surprised why he only played 15 minutes, but he looked all right. He looked confident with the shot, at least. It wasn't falling, but he started looking confident. Even then, the defense will have to respect it. He can use the speed. Valentine, obviously, you know, triple-double player of the game, whatever. Matt McQuaid, like I said, looked really good in his minutes. And so I think that this team is legitimate. I think that they are ready to make a run. If Harris can't get a shot to fall, though, there's really no point in having him out on the floor. Kyle Arns might have to see a little bit more time. But, hey, special thanks again to Ulish Booker, former Super Bowl champion, former Pittsburgh Steeler, Michigan State offensive lineman. Great stuff from him today. He broke down the Ohio State game for us. Again, thank you to him. But that does it for us today. Be sure to check us out tomorrow. iSportsWeb, Ohio State contributor Patrick McEwen, he's going to join us. He's going to talk a little Ohio State as the Spartans prepare for their battle in Columbus. Obviously, the winner there is going to have, well, they're going to be in the driver's seat for Big Ten East. I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports NFU Red Cedar Report.